Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home.
Hi everyone, I'm Sugandha, your host for today's episode. If you've heard some of our earlier episodes, you might already know a bit about my background. I'm originally from India, and I moved to Toronto, Canada as a permanent resident around 3.5 years ago. I absolutely love living in Canada, but if I'm being honest, as someone immigrating here from another country, it can take some time to get used to the Canadian culture. This doesn't mean that cultural differences will be the only thing you need to prepare for before you move. In fact, if you're arriving in Canada over the next few weeks or months, you're probably in full-time preparation mode. We highly recommend that you download Arrive's free pre-arrival checklist and tick off tasks as you go, so you don't miss out on anything important. You can find a link to this Moving to Canada checklist in the episode description below. That said, in today's episode, our focus is going to be on cultural differences that newcomers might face when they first arrive in Canada. With me at the studio today is Anupam, a fellow newcomer, and we're going to talk about some cultural differences that newcomers observe in Canada, as well as tips on how you can adapt to Canadian culture faster so that your transition to your new country goes smoothly. Hi, Anupam. Thank you for joining me today to co-host this episode.
Thanks, Sugandha. I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No worries. Anupam, you're from India too. So when did you move to Canada?
My wife and I, we arrived here in February 2023.
Oh, less than a year ago. That is not long at all. How has your experience been so far?
Frankly, it has been great. We are settling down well and, learning a lot about the new country.
That is good to hear. Anupam, since we'll be talking about culture today, what was the first cultural difference that you noticed when you arrived in Canada?
Definitely the country's diversity. You know, it stood out even while we were still at the Toronto airport. And one of the best things about Canada is that you will find people from all over the world here. Mm-hmm. People of all ethnicities, skin colors, and religions. And you'll hear people speaking all kinds of languages.
That is so true. And this was one of the first things I noticed when we arrived as well. Newcomers from hundreds of different countries bring their cultures to Canada. And over time, large cities like Toronto, Vancouver, and Calgary, they've become multicultural melting pots. And that's one of the things I love about living in Toronto. It brings you the best of all of these different cultures. So, for example, if I'm craving home-cooked food, I can find Indian ingredients and spices and even sweets. But if I'm in the mood for some sushi or shawarma, there are tons of authentic restaurants that serve those cuisines. And it's not just about food and groceries. You will find ethnic clothes, jewelry, skincare and hair care products, kitchen essentials, and even handicraft items from your home country. Of course, you'll probably have to pay much more for them than you would at home, and these things may not always be easy to find. But if you're craving that taste of home, you will usually be able to find it in Canada.
Agreed. And, you know, most importantly, everyone is treated equally and with utmost respect. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you come from, how old you are, what your gender or identity is, or what religion you follow. You have the same rights as everyone else, and you're definitely not going to be discriminated against. Moreover, people are generally nice to each other. And if you're out walking on the street, the people you meet will smile at you, even say hello, even if they don't know you. And if you find yourself in need of help, all that you need to do is ask.
That is so true. In fact, I remember at one point during my initial weeks in Toronto, I was inside a subway station trying to figure out which way to go. I must have looked really confused because a lady walked up to me and asked if she could help. And I thought that was really nice. But I do want to point out that you shouldn't confuse this politeness or helpfulness with friendliness. Just because somebody says hello to you or smiles at you, it doesn't mean that they want to be friends.
Yeah, that's right. They're just basically doing what is ingrained in their culture.
Mm-hmm. Anupam, what other cultural differences did you notice in Canada?
Language was definitely another major one. I mean, I mentioned earlier that you'll hear different languages being spoken commonly in Canada, right? But it is important to note that most of your conversations, including those you have during the course of your day-to-day activities or even at work, are going to be in one of the two official languages, which are French and English. Mm-hmm. And in most parts of Canada, except Quebec and New Brunswick, English is more commonly used. Thankfully, both my wife and I are fluent in English, so that has definitely made a transition to this country easier.
But if you're moving to Canada from a country where English or French wasn't your first language, or if you're not proficient in these languages, you should definitely spend some time working on your language skills. And there are lots of ways to do that. If you're coming to Canada as a permanent resident, you will be eligible for free language instruction for newcomers to Canada, or LINC classes, which are funded by your provincial government. You can also start working on your English or French skills before you arrive with the help of apps or websites like Duolingo, Babbel, or Moral. Some people learn better by listening. In such a case, you might want to start watching English or French TV shows or movies or listening to audiobooks or podcasts. Regardless of what approach you choose, one thing is certain. You will need to practice speaking the language in order to master it.
Agreed. You know, a lot of newcomers are reluctant to speak English because they worry that people won't be able to understand them or, you know, even make fun of their accents. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. A significant portion of Canada's population is made up of newcomers or second or third generation immigrants. So having an accent is not considered a bad thing at all here.
Yep.
In fact, think of it this way. The fact that you have an accent is proof that you speak two or more languages. So it is actually something you should be proud of.
I absolutely love that perspective, Anupam. The important thing is that people can understand you and that you can understand them.
Speaking of language, another thing that takes some getting used to is Canadian slang. Whether you're picking up a double-double at your local Tim Hortons or buying a toque to protect your head from the cold, I mean, knowing these commonly used terms will make you feel like less of an outsider.
Absolutely. And there are lots of YouTube videos on Canadian slang words, so do take a look at them as part of your research. Another thing that took me by surprise in the beginning was small talk. Almost every single conversation that you have, whether it's with people in your social circle or in a professional setting, it's going to start with small talk or icebreaker conversations. It's considered improper or even rude to get straight to the point without at least a few minutes of small talk. For instance, you can start your conversation by asking the other person about how they spent their weekend or what their hobbies are or even what kind of food they like.
Yeah, or talking about the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sports is another popular small talk topic. Hockey and basketball are widely followed in this country. So developing an interest in these sports can make it easier to find things to talk about.
That is a great tip. There are also some topics that are absolute no-nos. For instance, don't ask intrusive or personal questions or bring up topics that are controversial, such as politics or religion. Canadians value their privacy, so avoid asking people about their family matters or their finances.
Yeah, and you know, another thing I observed initially is that when people greet you and ask, "How are you?" they aren't necessarily expecting an honest answer from you.
Oh, yes. I am still getting used to this. In India, I would probably answer this question candidly and say things like, "Oh, you know what? I didn't sleep well last night," or "I'm not feeling very well today." But here, the expected response to "How are you?" is always, "I'm doing well. How are you?" There are also other etiquettes that Canadians expect you to observe. For example, being punctual. If you're meeting someone socially or having a work meeting, you should always be on time. It's impolite to be late. If the delay is unavoidable, just make sure that you let the other person know how late you're going to be.
Yeah, and again, this is quite different from the norm back home in India.
Oh, absolutely.
at least socially.
Yeah.
Back home, if you're invited to a party at 6 p.m., no one expects you to get there before 7. And if you're on time, you might actually find the host a bit unprepared.
Yeah, but that's not the case in Canada. Here, if you're late, people are going to start worrying that something else happened to you. Or interpret it as you not thinking they're important enough to be on time for. Another thing to keep in mind is that Canadians are very particular about their physical personal space and not just when they're socially distancing. You should avoid standing too close to others or brushing against people in a crowd. Stand at least one arm's length away so you're not making anybody uncomfortable.
Yes, and unsolicited physical contact is frowned upon as well. So unless you know someone well, or let's say have a close relationship, you shouldn't go hugging around or kissing them on the cheek when you meet them. But you will see hugs as a form of greeting between close friends, though.
Mm-hmm. In some parts of Quebec, things may be done a bit differently, and it might be considered okay to give someone a peck on the cheek when you first meet. But I would recommend following the other person's lead on such things so you don't accidentally make a cultural faux pas. When in doubt, a handshake is always a safe option to greet someone.
Yeah, fair enough. And since we're talking about culture, we should probably also talk about the importance of networking in this country, you know, especially for your career. If you're looking for a job as a newcomer, you may have heard about the so-called hidden job market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is essentially a portion of open job roles that aren't publicly advertised, but are instead filled through referrals from the recruiters' networks. And the only way to tap into these, into this so-called hidden job market, which can sometimes comprise up to 85% of all available jobs, is through your professional network.
Yes. And Anupam, thank you so much for bringing that up. Networking is incredibly important in Canada, and not just for newcomers, but for your future career growth as well. But I won't go into too much detail on networking. We've covered this topic extensively in earlier episodes of our podcast, and Arrive also has a free networking for newcomers guide that you can download to get more tips on how you can build your network. And we'll include a link to that in the episode description. Another important aspect of Canadian culture is volunteering. Canadians of all age groups, including children and senior professionals, volunteer their time and energy to causes that they believe in. As a newcomer, volunteering is a great way to meet new people and expand your network.
I think because of a difference in cultural mindsets, some newcomers find it difficult to justify dedicating time to work for free, especially when they can use that time to look for work.
That's true.
Now, but here's the thing. The best part about volunteer work is that it does count as Canadian experience on your resume. Plus, you get a chance to work closely with professionals from different industries and companies. So if you are good at what you do, they might take notice and, you know, refer you for roles within their own organization.
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of cultural differences that you might notice in the professional environment as well once you start working in Canada. And we've covered some of these in our episode on culture fit interviews, but I do want to highlight a couple that surprise some newcomers. So in my home country, India, it is very common to refer to your supervisor or seniors at work as sir or ma'am. But that's not the case in Canada at all. Here you refer to everyone at work, regardless of their age, designation, or seniority level, by their first name. And your work interactions are different as well. For instance, if you are in an entry-level role, you are still expected to speak up during meetings. It's not enough to just do as directed. Most companies have a democratic work culture, and contributing ideas and sharing your informed views will be part of your job.
That's a good point. And unrelated to work, another cultural aspect that newcomers are sometimes unfamiliar with is that you're expected to tip for services in Canada.
Oh, yes.
In comparison, though, in many countries, tipping is considered optional, or you only tip if the service was particularly good. But in Canada, not tipping is rude. And I understand why this is a pain point for some newcomers who are, you know, still coming to terms with the significantly higher cost of living in Canada, looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why you're expected to tip. And that's because many service industry professionals here only earn a minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. And in some provinces, there is a separate, even lower minimum wage for servers, waiters, and bartenders.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but these workers do end up relying on tips to make a livable wage then. So make sure you tip when you're at a restaurant, salon, a hotel, or in a taxi, or if you're getting food or groceries delivered to your home.
Great point. And make sure you include this extra cost in your budget as well, because tips of 15 to 25% can quickly add up. If you're in the process of making a budget for your life in Canada, you can also use Arrive's cost of living calculator to get an estimate of your monthly living expenses in your city. And you'll find a link to this calculator in the episode description as well. Since we are talking about costs, I should also point out that in Canada, the prices that you see listed in stores or online do not include sales tax. So that'll be added later. And this came as a bit of a shock to me initially, especially when we were shopping for winter jackets and furniture on our newcomer budget. When you're adding taxes and tip to, let's say, your restaurant bill, that comes out to roughly 30% more than the cost in the menu. So do plan for that.
I totally agree with that.
Okay, so we've talked about some typical cultural differences that might affect newcomers in Canada, including workplace-specific ones. But I also want to touch upon some cultural differences that you might observe if you're studying in Canada or that your children might come across in the classroom. First, the learning style in Canada may be different from that in your home country. There is a lot of emphasis on group work here, and although there will also be individual assignments, you or your kids should be prepared to work collaboratively with others. Another important one is that, unlike in some cultures, you can and should speak up in the classroom. Students in Canada don't automatically assume that the teacher's interpretation is the only way of seeing things. And most teachers actually encourage healthy debates in the class. Also, integrity is deeply valued in school, and cheating or plagiarism is absolutely unacceptable. It is not unheard of for students to receive a failing grade or even be expelled if they're caught cheating.
And another difference I can think of is that for many newcomers, especially newcomer children, stepping into a diverse, multicultural classroom may be a new experience. In India, for example, many children still go to schools that have only boys or only girls. So as such, finding yourself in a Canadian classroom that has kids with different cultural backgrounds, ethnicities, religions, and genders might be quite overwhelming at first.
That is so true. In such scenarios, it'll be very important for newcomer parents to prepare their children and teach them to embrace and respect diversity. Anupam, we've covered several cultural differences today. So now let's talk about any tips that you have that can help newcomers better adapt to Canadian culture.
Sure. My first tip would be to keep an open mind and express an interest in learning about other cultures.
So important.
Right?
Yeah.
Talk to people from different backgrounds and try to look at things from new perspectives. After all, you aren't coming all this way from your home country to do everything exactly the same way that you did back home.
Yeah.
Next, be sensitive to cultural differences. You can do this by actively learning about cultural differences and recognizing that no culture is better or worse than another. If you're unsure about an aspect of someone's culture, you can ask them politely and do not judge people you do not know. Sometimes biases become so deeply ingrained within us that we have trouble recognizing them.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you educate yourself about stereotypes and biases. Another tip would be to expand your friend circle beyond people from your home country or people who have similar backgrounds. I mean, I know being around what's familiar to you feels comfortable, but how will you learn about other cultures if you don't make an effort to connect with people from different cultures?
That is so true. The best way to adapt to Canadian culture is to actually immerse yourself in it. That can also mean celebrating Canadian festivals or participating in locally popular sports and activities. Find ways to learn about Canadian history, especially the history of the Indigenous people, and about how Canada's culture has evolved over time. This will give you a sense of belonging and you will start to feel Canadian.
Yeah, right. And that's so important. Now, coming back to where we started our conversation, learning English or let's say French if you're in Quebec will play a very important role in how well you adapt to the culture here. If you're not confident about your language skills, you'll be reluctant to talk to people. And that will really limit the social circle you keep.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, you'll have trouble learning about other cultures and other people.
That is an excellent point.
And that said, make sure you give yourself enough time to adjust to your new environment. I mean, depending on where you're originally from, coming to Canada can be a huge change. And, you know, lots of people experience some form of culture shock during their initial months. It's entirely normal. You may feel homesick or miss aspects of your own culture. But, you know, Sugandha, like you mentioned initially, In most major cities in Canada, it's not that difficult to find things that remind you of home. Remember that adapting to Canadian culture does not mean letting go of your roots or your identity. Don't feel pressured to change. Diversity is what makes this country great. So find out what works for you and what feels comfortable. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you respect the beliefs of others so they do the same for you.
I absolutely love that. Anupam, this has been amazing. Thank you for all the insights you shared about Canadian culture and your tips on adapting to life in Canada. I am sure our listeners will find these very valuable. If you're moving to Canada soon, don't forget to read our Preparing Your Move to Canada guide, which we've linked out to in the episode description. I also highly recommend that you download our free pre-arrival checklist to stay on top of your to-do list before you arrive. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.